You there, Mike? How you doing, bud?
Pretty good, pretty good.
Just waiting on Eddie.
Waiting on Eddie. There's a little bit of, I just think there's some music in the background.
Better?
Still there.
Better?
Yeah, I think it's gone now.
Galing, click, splat, 1200.
There he is.
All right.
That looks a little better.
Yeah, that looks great. Thank you for doing that. That looks good. All right, we're going to go right into it, guys. Sorry for the delay, everybody. Michael Pearson. And without further ado, yesterday, Jerry, take
it. All right, guys, it's Jerry. You know me, as usual. We're here talking sheepdog stuff on our Sheepdog Ops podcast, hosted by Battle Rattle. And we've got ourselves a great guest, actually. I know we didn't get to talk earlier this week, but I did get to talk to you a few minutes before we got ready to do this. And Eddie, you are right up our alley for somebody to jump in here and talk some gun stuff and some fun stuff with us. So without further ado, guys, I want to introduce Eddie Ford. And he's going to do a little bit of an intro and a little bit of background on himself. That way I don't get anything wrong.
Oh, thank you very much. I appreciate it, Jerry and Mike. My name is Eddie Ford. My wife and I own NorCal Gun Vault in Rockland, California. I am retired Navy. I did 20 years. I was a Chief Petty Officer Cryptologic Technician. That's just a fancy way of saying a high security clearance electronics tech. I did 20 years in the Navy, retired. Went to work defense contracting, did some fun stuff there with counter IED jammers, and then eventually worked out of that and went up to Beale Air Force Base, worked with the U-2 program up there. And 30 years with DOD was plenty enough. And I went to work with a biomed engineering company doing just field engineering and kind of got tired of doing it. And my wife and I thought about maybe getting into our own business, and we had an opportunity presented to us, and we purchased NorCal Gun Vault, and it's been quite an adventure. I mean, I have a degree in business, and it's definitely between my military experience, my leadership training, my conflict resolution, you name it, it all really comes into play on a day-to-day retail operation, especially with something as passionate as guns and Second Amendment and things of that nature. We NorCal Gun Vault, we take the customer really to heart. That's one thing that I always hate. I hated going into gun stores, because when you go into a gun store, typically people are just, I mean, I would walk around, I'm looking at items, I'm looking at stuff on the racks, I come around the corner and there's somebody standing at the counter. And they're looking at you like you're wasting their time. And then you utter two words that they don't like, and you get an eye roll, and you just feel stupid. And there's no reason for any customer to walk into a store to spend their precious time. Because to me, the most precious thing you have on the planet is time. It's the one thing you can't get back. And when you walk into a store, you're given that time. And so I want to make sure that time is not wasted, that you walk out of my store with the same dignity and respect, if not more, than when you walked in with. So there's never a stupid gun question. There's never a stupid first time gun owner, because we all started right where they are. You know, walking in, you don't know much. I mean, whether you were 4 years old with your dad or whether you're 80 years old and you're just kind of nervous about life, you should never be afraid to walk in and ask a question so that you can have the peace of mind. And that's, I always tell people that I sell guns, but really what I sell is peace of mind. People want to know that they're protected, that if something happens, they at least have some means to protect themselves, and they're not just going to have to stand by and and be victimized. And that's really what it comes down to, is that people can come to my store, find out what they need to find out, get the training they need, get the education they need, and then just find out more about the gun culture and why it's a good thing, why it's incorporated into the DNA of this country. So, I mean, I'm a history buff.
I'll tell you what, I am curious, because you are saying that you are open to questions and stuff like that, because you don't find that in many gun stores, at least the ones that I've been in. And I've been around guns for a little while of my life. You know, I grew up hunting. I grew up, around them a lot. And I was curious, what is like the number one question that you guys normally get?
What kind of gun should I buy? I mean, it's a really simple question, right? But people don't know, because there's a lot. In California, there's a few. But there's a lot of questions, because, you know, there's quite a variety, even in California, enough for a new gun owner. And it can be overwhelming, because depending upon your background. So I come from, my family was all law enforcement. My father was a retired deputy sheriff from Sewickin County. And I grew up around guns, and we didn't have gun safes in the house. The guns were always loaded. But nobody was worried about somebody taking it down and shooting themselves. Or if they were, I didn't know it, because we were all educated. A lot of people have grown up, and all they've heard is the media, or they've heard people around them, and guns are bad and evil, and, you know, the just the crazy guy down the street's the gun nut or whatever, or, you know, Crazy Larry, the Vietnam vet, you know, all he talks about is his guns. But you people come in with these preconceived notions of what they're going to expect in a gun store. We're trying to kind of break that mold a little bit, but and also educate them. I've talked to folks for, you know, a good couple of hours, and they didn't buy anything, but they came back and bought. They just need to kind of get that comfort level. And that's, you know, buying a gun is a trust building experience for a lot of people. You've got to trust them. It's like your dentist or your mechanic, or, you know, you need to know you can trust these people, because they're working on or doing things that you don't know how to do. And so it's the same way with guns. And so you have to build up that trust level, that you know what you're talking about, you have their best interest at heart, and you're talking to them. You know, you're not just spouting off the latest blah blah, or trying to sell the latest, you know, the newest Sig Sauer out there or whatever. You're really trying to find the best gun for them, whether it's a $180 High Point, or whether it's a $3,000 Nighthawk. What is going to be the best gun for them? And it's up to them to decide. I just need to make sure that they understand the choices that they have, and that they're comfortable with the choices they're making.
That's.
I was just going to say, sorry to interrupt you. I thought that was funny when he said that you could buy a few guns, like, no pun intended, right? But it's probably, it's funny, because in California you can't buy anything, but you probably really can buy a lot. It's just that people really don't know it, even though we're in California.
Right.
And then, so
that's funny. I have a question on that, if you don't mind me jumping in there.
Oh, yeah, go ahead.
Because I like guns, and I'm a big gun fan. Uh-huh. So, as far as that question goes, as a gun owner already, uh-huh, is it the people who own guns who seem to find the hardest time with that, because they go and do the research, they go look for a certain gun, or they're looking for a certain handgun or a specific model or brand, and that's a lot of the big issue, is that when they go to look for it, they can't, it's not on the registry here, or it's not, you know, allowed because of that?
There's a lot of frustration with that, and I, you know, I always tell customers, we have a website as well, and we have a lot of local customers that shop through our website, and every once in a while somebody will order a firearm that's not on the California DOJ roster of approved handguns. That's the long term for it. If it's not on roster, then and they're not law enforcement, unfortunately, we're not allowed to sell it to them. What I'll typically do is to do some research, find something that's, you know, pretty much meets the same needs, but it's on roster, and say, tell them, unfortunately, we can't sell that one to you, but here's one that meets those same needs. Why don't you look into that and see if you want us to order that for you? And we'll do the legwork for them, just so they don't have to try and figure it out themselves. And you can usually tell by the firearms they choose kind of what they're looking for. And then you start the conversation there, and then maybe that's not the one they want, but after either a couple of emails or a trip to the store, you found the one that they're looking for.
I tell you, because that seems to be my biggest frustration. So I assumed that was along the lines of other people.
Yeah, it is. I mean, we get a lot of folks that'll come in because we have a law enforcement only cabinet. And I hate putting it that way. It's an off roster cabinet. There seems to be some there's frustration among people that, you know, only law enforcement can buy these, only law enforcement can get high capacity magazines. And all in all, as a citizen, yeah, you're right. It is infringing on our rights, and it's not right that we've limited it to a certain few. The only thing I can say is that, you know, as a functioning retail store in California, my job is to stay open so that I can give you the best customer service, the best selection, everything. And if that means staying within the law, then that's what we do. But we're always trying to help customers understand that just because you can't buy it from me new doesn't mean you can't get an off-roster firearm. If you are a California resident and you have a direct lineage relative, you know, let's say you're 45 years old and you got a daughter or a son or a granddaughter, not 45, but, you know, you've got a granddaughter, grandson, son, daughter, mother, father, grandfather, grandmother, great-grandfather, great-grandmother that lives out of state. If it's in that direct lineage, it can't be brother, sister, cousin, or anything. They can purchase a firearm in their state, any firearm, as long as it's not considered a California assault weapon, would define assault weapon. If it's a handgun, then basically they can gift it to you and send it to you, private party transfer, basically through an FFL transfer. And you can have that. You can get, I just can't sell it to you new. You can buy it used. If you can find it on CalGuns, if you can find it in the consignment or used, or you know a police officer that has this gun that you want and you haven't been able to get it and he can sell it to you. There's ways to get them. The funnel stops at the new dealership. So you can't get a new 6R P365. You can't get the new Glock 43X from a dealer. But you can get them from somebody who is able to get them and able to sell them. You want to make sure you don't put any law enforcement in any precarious positions by buying one and then selling it to you. And if they're doing that enough, it will red flag within the system and they'll kind of get eyes on them that they don't want. So, but you can get that stuff and there's ways to do it legally. And my contacts at the Department of Justice are very Second Amendment friendly. You wouldn't think so, but they are. They really do believe in what we do, you know, what we should and shouldn't have. And they have the same frustrations we do, at least my rep does. And they'll have the same, you know, questions, but yet the framework of the law is that our job as citizens of this state is to get out and get the word out and vote and use that's our weapon. It's not a gun to revolt. That's the beauty of this country, is that we can get out and vote in the numbers that start pulling some of these politicians out that are maybe making laws that are common sense gun laws. That's our best weapon there. It's always been that way. It's what makes this country way better than any other country on the planet.
Yeah, I fully agree with you right there. I think the vote is the hugest or the biggest thing. Sorry, improper grammar, but that'll get through for everyone to see that this is not perfect. So,
no,
but I think that's the biggest thing. And my father ran in some politics here locally and stuff like that. And that was the biggest thing when we were pushing that because of his voting. But my little bit of a follow up question is, how much time do you guys spend talking to the DOJ and getting the answer so that way, like, information like that isn't something that's obviously easy public knowledge?
I'm on the phone with DOJ 3 or 4 times a week. I mean, at least 3 or 4 times a week. And I mean, I've owned this store for a year and a half. I've never been afraid to call my rep and ask questions. And their philosophy is the question not answered. You know, a baby bird that doesn't open his mouth doesn't get fed. And so you call, you ask, you get the information. But I'm telling you, there's not 2 days doesn't go by that somebody doesn't ask me a question that either that I don't have an answer to, or I've heard the answer, but it applied to something else and I have to figure out if it applies here. But it's just really starting to kind of get the scope of the framework of the law and understanding how to, you know, how to work within it. And to make it right. I mean, as right as we can. You know, I think that we've had some interesting events over the last couple of weeks that are definitely in favor of the Second Amendment crowd. It's been called Freedom Week last week, where we had the high capacity magazine ban was lifted for a week because it was ruled unconstitutional. Friday at 5 o'clock, the stay went back into place, so it kind of went back the way it was before, you know, between 2000 and April, was it 29th, I think it was, March 29th. But, you know, I think we're seeing some real shifts in the West Coast legal system that may start to bring about common sense change, you know, and it's, you know, where we might think that the government of California is against us, the people that I know that are in that, you know, that arena, they're not. They're gun owners themselves. You know, they're not, they don't see themselves above all this. It's getting and making sure that the people that represent us understand our viewpoint and are willing to step up and represent us.
Yeah. Would you say that is, in fact, who is, are you confident that the people that are there see it that way, Eddie, or are you feeling a confliction that the people who are representing California?
I think it just, I mean, right now, if you look at the fact that we have in California a supermajority on, you know, on one political side, it is a matter of, it's really hard for, you know, the people that aren't in that supermajority to really get their voice heard. I don't think it's not heard. I just think we're kind of in a climate right now of very partisan politics, and you know, those that are in, you know, their parties are trying to do their job and secure their job, right or wrong, and it just kind of leads them down that path. I mean, I've known a Republican state senator, and I've known a Democrat state senator, and the Democrat state senator is a phenomenal person. Very pro law enforcement and pro Second Amendment, but yet, you know, they get kind of pulled in that other direction because of the party politics involved. So I think sometimes what you find is that their personal views and their professional persona clash at times.
Yeah, that's an interesting point.
You know,
I was just gonna
go ahead.
You can finish.
Oh, I was gonna say for 2018, NorCal Gun Vault was selected by State Senator Tim Gaines, who has the largest geographical district in California, as his Small Business of the Year honoree for 2018 because of that customer service thought, you know, the way we do with customer service, the way we do with training, the way we promote, you know, Second Amendment without being militant about it. And we were honored with the Small Business of the Year for Senate District 1 by a California politician.
Yeah, that's amazing. And I can attest to that. I mean, the first time I walked in there, I was really impressed. Actually, when I met you, I didn't really even know. I actually didn't know that anything about NorCal Gun Vault, but when I walked in there, I could see why he awarded you guys that.
And I appreciate that.
One thing, yeah, you're welcome. One thing I wanted to say to the audience, when something about that no judgment thing that really, I think, is a testament to your guys' foundation over there at NorCal is, like, the reason I felt like that when I walked in is because everything felt really organized. It felt first class. But, you know, a lot of times, like, in the service or anything that sometimes can be militant or something that's barking orders, I'm just thinking of, like, when you go on orders, like, that, everybody is judging each other. Well, how much does he know about the military? What does he really know about his rank? Does he know how to disassemble his weapon? How fast can he put it back together? And it's almost like they are judging you to such a point where you can't even do your job. You can't disassemble your weapon under that kind of pressure. And then everything crumbles like a car. So I was just going to say don't make people feel dumb. That no judgment zone is so critical. And especially if you're talking about a weapon system, something that's so freaking crazy. So that's something you guys really got going for you, man. I just want to
let
people know that, because I see that. And I've been on the polar opposite, where you walk into a gun store and that's like not what you feel. So it's very apparent. So Jerry, do you want to go into the importance of guns or the concepts?
Because we were talking earlier, Eddie, and I know we had brought up a few topics and we were going back and forth, and I know that we've kind of hit one of our topics, which was why you went into the gun business to begin with, which more of this was because you were tired of what you were doing, and this is obviously a passion of yours. But I know that we've kind of hit some of this going into the voting, into the courts, and how they're starting to, they're seeing some good transition of those topics into the importance of owning a gun and how people should look at them. And I know we were talking about that earlier when we were talking about training and people, how they should look at a gun when they first buy their first one, or if they're buying any of theirs. And I want to give you the opportunity to kind of speak on that, because I think that was a really interesting perception that I think a lot of people who are around guns too much don't step back to the basics sometimes.
Well, and it can easily get caught up in the minutia of everything that guns are. I mean, there's such a variety. And, you know, even in California with the roster, there's still a variety, because a lot of people have firearms that they've had for years. And you can really get into the nitpicking of, you know, what makes a firearm. You know, so people ask me, you know, why is this firearm better than this firearm? Well, if you're not a competitive shooter, there may not be a ton of difference. It may not be the pound to trigger pull. There may not be, you know, recoil spring tension. There's other, you know, there's things that you know, if you start reading some of the gun magazines, I mean, they get into some really heavy stuff. But if you just want something to protect yourself at home, you know, you need something that feels good in your hand. You need something that connects with you. You know, well, like you, I've met people in my life within first 5 minutes of meeting somebody, I knew I'd met a friend. I knew I met somebody. When I met Mike, I knew I'd met a cohort in crime. You know, you kind of have this connection. And I've seen people, hey, and it's amazing.
I don't have anything on my record, Eddie. So
yeah, no, we haven't found it yet. So. But my DOJ contacts are looking, though, believe me, day and night. But you know, when you'll pick up a firearm, and I've seen it happen, and when I used to teach in the Navy, and I used to teach electronics, I always used to say, I love that moment when the light came on, when somebody went from, I really don't get it, to, man, I really understand that. And there's this feeling that you kind of see in them, this feeling of connection, this feeling of you know, finding that right thing. It's almost, you know, the Harry Potter wand, the light comes on, whatever. You know what I mean? It's just that it picks you. And firearms do the same thing. And I'll watch people and I'll put out different grip styles for somebody who's never really held them other than maybe their dad's. And they're looking at their first firearm. And you'll see when they pick up the right one. And I'm at it, like, and I'll tell them, don't worry about price, whatever. Just look at the grip styles. Look at this. Pick it up. And when you see them make that connection, you know they found the one they want. And they'll look at this one and that one, but they'll come back to that one, the one they made the connection with. And, you know, it's good to know I helped them make that kind of connection, because once they do, they're going to want to train, you know, as long as they have a good place to go train. You know, they get the right training. You know, we're looking at, we work with a company that comes in and we host their training for CCW, for concealed carry weapons permits, for Placer County and like-minded counties that have 8-hour training regimens. But we also do some basic handgun training in there, and we do a lot of hunters education, and that's really, really blown up. I mean, we are maximizing out the space we're allowed to give them. By allowed, I mean just that doesn't bleed over into my store space. Mm-hmm. And it's, I mean, I'm talking kids 12 years old to people 60 years old coming in to learn. And again, it's great. It's great to see people want that education, because the more people we have that understand firearms, that understand the responsibility of owning a firearm. I mean, to me, the responsibility you have when you own a firearm is no different than the responsibility you have when you have the right to vote I mean, you have two very, very powerful entities at your disposal, but you have to know how to use them. You have to become educated, and you have to kind of practice and train. And for like voting, you may have to read up on a candidate or read up on a topic or a proposition and kind of try to look at all different sides. And it's the same way with firearms. You want to make sure that you fight like you train like you fight. And so you're going to get in, you know, people that will go in and go to a range and shoot at a target at 25 yards, 15 yards, 10 yards, 7 yards, 5 yards. You know, if they're static targets, while you may know where your groupings are at, you may not know how you're going to react in the situation. You need to have that, you know, kind of surprise. You need to be surprised a little bit so that you can kind of figure out how you're going to react under that stress situation. And then you're going to really know how to defend yourself. And training and training and training is how you do that. And it doesn't mean, you know, sweaty, rolling around in the dirt training. It just means thinking about it. And there's ways you can do it at home. There's devices you can buy so that, you know, while you're at home, you can get better at this stuff, or you can go out and do professional classes. There's a whole gamut. And education, I think, is the one thing that we lack as a whole, as a country, about guns, so that we can be, you know, what the founding fathers envisioned. They want a country that has the mindset ready to defend their rights from without or within. And I don't mean revolution unless it has to happen. But, you know, one thing that's always kept us from being invaded is just like the Japanese knew in World War II when Yamamoto said, I wouldn't attack the U.S. because you'll find a gun behind every blade of grass. That's not a bad thing, as long as the people behind it know how to use it. And so training is huge to me because knowledge is power, you know, in so many
ways. You know what, Eddie, that is, you know, that was the whole reason that I started this channel. When it started as a YouTube channel, mm-hmm. It was started because of training. I think that I'd gone through some classes and I'd gone through some schooling for law enforcement and stuff like that. And every cop that I talk to and every channel that I see on there and everything dealt with the pulling of the trigger. And it dealt with the actual shootings or the, you know, the use of force or the action like that. And no one ever took the time to step back and say, hey, let's look at what led up to that. Why did we get there? What did steps that maybe they missed? What are we doing here as far as the training goes? Right. And let's step back to the basics. I think that's the most incredible thing. I love that the Japanese general's quote. I know that's one of the ones that I've used before. When I'm talking to people, it's an important quote. And I think that your fact, it's a fact. What you're saying is, yes, we may have that many guns and we may have that many people armed, but if they're not trained,
right,
you might as well have a hunk of metal because
you have a club, a baseball bat, you know?
So. Exactly. And it's funny because last week we were talking the same thing with our guests and with Chris, and he was saying the same thing. It's a common mentality, I think, and I love to hear that because it really it speaks to this group as a whole and what we're thinking, mm-hmm. not just, hey, we're, you know, there's a few of us who seem like we're crazy because we say, hey, we need to train like this because it's important for when you need it.
Mm-hmm. Well, so, go ahead, Mike.
I just got something really funny to say, so maybe not the right time. I don't know.
Go ahead.
Oh, Mike. Stop. We meet a military guy with something funny at the wrong time. Stop it.
So we're talking about Japanese being the threat, right? But we all know that they don't carry guns anymore. And ever since then, we've been selling weapons to the whole world. So if we're all armed behind every blade of grass, who would invade us? Who could invade us?
Right. Well, they're doing it in the southern border, but let's not get into that. I said we didn't want to talk politics. So.
No, but, not pun intended.
But, you know, you get, and again, I mean, the training can come from anywhere. But one of the things that, you know, people have said, like for school shootings, for example, I read a really phenomenal article from an Army sergeant about the idea of arming teachers in schools. And, you know, you'd think, you know what, let's just arm them and take them out and train them. And then if something happens, they'll be able to react. But something he said hit home so well is that you can arm them. And you can train them, but do you know what they're going to do when the first bullet whizzes by them? How are they going to react? Are they going to cower? Are they going to start shooting at everything they see? What are they going to do? And so you really you have to find a way to train that stress reaction. You have to find a way to do that. And typically you do that with non-lethal means. You can do it with laser. You can do it. I mean, you can do it with Call of Duty, really, if you had something that kind of went up with it. But it's a way of, you know, except for the getting shot at part. I did 20 years in the Navy, and I was on a ship. I was in shore duty, and I wasn't in a combat position. I didn't do combat. I didn't go to combat until I retired. I retired. I went to school for about 6 months. I found a job with a company that made counter ID jammers, which was in the electronic warfare field, which I had been in some respects in the Navy. And so I went to work for them. We developed a field engineering team to go to Iraq and Afghanistan. I led the team over there. We set up over there, and we worked on everything they had. Well, I was stationed out of Baghdad at BIOP at the airport. And, you know, I mean, the day didn't go by that there wasn't a mortar coming in or whatever. And then I'm not, you know, I wasn't dodging mortars or whatever, but there were a couple times where I came out of a building and it was getting shot at. I've been in a couple stress situations to where I've been near major traffic accidents, and I've responded to them just with the natural training that I got in the military for first aid and response. And I found out I'm a run to danger kind of guy, which is fine. But I also found out that I don't freak out under stress. I actually think a little clearer, but you don't know until you've been under those situations. And if we could find a way to do that in a training environment, then people can start to learn themselves, know themselves, and understand that really you're in control. I mean, when you have somebody coming at you and you've got a firearm and you cower, you've lost all concept of the power that you have. You're the whole thing behind CCW is not to kill somebody, but threat mitigation. And if you can stand up there, and I've told this to customers before, if you can put up a positive enough, you know, if you come out with confidence and you draw and you've got a beat on them and you're looking at them saying, okay, so what's the next step? And they fear in their heart that you have the power and the capability to shoot them, then the threat is gone. But you have to be able to think clearly enough to do that. And, I'm still trying to kind of rack my brain to find out an efficient way to do that so that people can start to be more comfortable with that. Because that's really, when you talk about the gun behind the blade of grass, I think the essence of what we're getting to is how are you going to react when the shooting starts? And you want to have people that are confident enough, you know, just like when you saw, you know, if you watch, Band of Brothers, if you watch some of the World War II stuff, my grandfather was in World War II, and I never got many stories out of him, but, you know, you look at the people and you hear them talking and they just did their job, you know, and if that means their job is to go out and clear a field or, you know, to push the enemy back, that's what they did. Were they scared? Absolutely. I mean, you're going to be scared. You just have to be able to push through it, but you don't know you can push through it until you've had some sort of testing.
Yeah, I like that.
Now the brief follow-up I have to that is, what have you seen to be the best training technique?
For just a general confidence in firearms or?
Yeah, I think that's the biggest thing, because that's where everything starts, right? Is if you don't have confidence in your ability or in your weapon,
and everything. My answer is always the training starts the first time they walk in to buy a gun. That is my opportunity to start the training for that person so that they start with the confidence that they're buying the right firearm, that I have the confidence in them to sell them that firearm in a sense. And it sounds like a funny way of saying it, but it does. It feeds into that. People truly, you know, except for evil people, obviously, but people come to my store, you know, they're just trying to protect themselves. They're trying to do good. They're trying to do right. They want to be able to protect themselves and their family, because there is a lot of violence out there and there's a lot of crazy stuff, but just that little bit of peace of mind. But with that peace of mind, you've got to have confidence. The confidence comes from getting them into a basic handgun class, break it down. What do the parts mean? Put it back together. And it doesn't mean, you know, Forrest Gump it back together in 2 seconds. It just means knowing what you're doing and knowledge, like you said, and you and I talked about, knowledge is power. And the, you know, the training, the most important training is that initial training. And then it's the continuance of training. And always looking to learn beyond what you have. And if you feel like you need to be tested somewhere, find a means to do that. And there are so many training companies out there, from, you know, Complete Survival Training. The company that we host training for, NFI, They have CCW training, and then they have defensive shooting. They'll put you on your back and show you how to, you know, get your holster out while you're on your back being attacked, things like that, so that at least you've done it once. At least you've kind of gone through those motions. And then they tell you to practice, you know, and I mean, and there's ways you could kind of go through the motions, whether it's, you know, with a friend or whatever, with a, you know, because you can buy the training guns on Amazon. You know, you can buy a 1911, you can buy a training gun, so that at least then you can unholster, bring it out, and in a safe environment, at least go through those motions and know that at this point I have this. Because what people don't realize is that somebody can cover 25 yards in about 2.5-3 seconds. You know, so if you think you've got the 25 yards of coverage and you're safe, you don't, I mean, if you can't draw, get out and beat and fire, then you're basically holding a club. And so until you do it, you don't know it. The training starts the first time you pick up a firearm, and then it continues just throughout your life. And whether it's new firearms you get, training with those, knowing how those go, whether it's revolvers, semi-automatics, long rifles, lever action, bolt action, you know, semi-automatic, it's they all have their different nuances. And so from the first time you get those, you want to start learning those things. But it all starts with the basics, the foundation.
I love that. I think that's because I do a little bit of aikido training and jiu-jitsu training, and those are really familiar terms as far as you know, understanding, having something to pull from and things like that. They call it the OODA loop as far as it goes, because if you don't have that where you've trained it and you practice it, you can't pull from something you don't have.
Yeah.
And I think that's incredible. So Eddie, I know we've covered that you are the owner and of NorCal Gun Vault. I wanted to give you an opportunity to kind of plug all your social media right now, give you a chance to, if you got any classes or anything special you got going on that you want people to know about, this is kind of that opportunity right now, because we're trying to get to that transition point.
Mm-hmm. So right now, I mean, we have ongoing training. We have we host, if you're looking for training at the moment, we're trying to develop some in-house organic training that's not covered as much as I would like to cover from the company that we host with. If you have questions about CCW classes, if you want a basic handgun class, if you want a hunter's education class, either come into the store, go onto the website at www.norcalgunvault.com, send a contact us. I am always, you'll never get an email not responded to in a timely manner. I mean, I believe that communication is part of that trust. You know, that, you know, if you ask me a question, I care enough to give you an answer. We do a lot of, I don't do enough posting on Facebook, but Facebook tends to be my main go-to quick advertising medium, so that you understand what we got going on, whether it was the Freedom Week magazine sales. When we were holding off selling, I used Facebook to kind of get people to understand why. You know, it wasn't a rash decision. It wasn't a, you know, scaredy cat decision. It was a very well thought out decision. And I spelled it out because I have to protect my business and I have to protect my customers. Instagram, I've got to get better at that. And, I don't do enough on Twitter, but we have all the account. We have the Twitter accounts. We have, Instagram, like us on that. We got about 3,200 followers on Facebook. We've got over 1,000 followers on Instagram. Twitter, I haven't looked at enough because it's just, I talk too much for 140 characters. but again, we've got the website, www.norcalgunvault.com. We have over 300,000 products on the website. We could never carry that much in the store, you know, because we just don't have that much real estate. But we, you know, if you go onto the website and you see something and you have a question, just call the store, do a contact us. We'll answer whatever we need to make sure you're getting what you're looking for. If I can't get it, I will certainly turn you somewhere where you can get it, because meeting your needs is more important to me sometimes than just trying to keep your little niche of, you know, in money in my store. I'd rather you want to come back to my store rather than just, you know, hey, you have to spend it here and then you can go find it somewhere else.
Is it all at NorCal Gun Vault for all of your social media then?
Yeah, NorCal Gun Vault is all of it.
Okay.
Whether it's Instagram, we had a the previous owners had a NorCal Gun Vault Instagram, but somehow something, the login got lost. They went to NorCal Gun Vault 6761, and I managed to get it back to just NorCal Gun Vault to simplify it for folks. So everything's been incorporated there. Again, Facebook is NorCal Gun Vault. Twitter is NorCal Gun Vault. And again, NorCalGunVault.com. We also have an outdoor camping. So one of the things that started this for us is we wanted to start a website 3-4 years ago. And we really love camping. We love RVing. We love going out. But we love finding cool stuff that we can take out and use. And whether it's bio lights or whether it's a rocket stove or whether it's, you know, just something kind of interesting and cool that kind of brings something exciting to your camping trip. And so we created a website called happytrailsoutdoorgear.com, and it's up there. It has about 60,000 products on it. We're trying to increase that every day, and it doesn't deal with firearms at all. It may deal with hunting supplies and everything else. It deals with everything but firearms. NorCal Gun Vault deals with firearms and all the associated accessories on that. Being in the Navy, the last 10 years of my career, I was always associated with disaster preparedness. And so while I'm not, you know, the gas mask wearing backpack guy hiking 65 miles to my bunker, I always believe that, you know, in an event, you need to be prepared, because having been through 3 hurricanes, one of them took the power out for 4 weeks. And again, that's, I can talk about what it's really like to be in a disaster situation where it's been flooded, power's out, it's trying to protect your family, feed your family, things like that. And so one of the things that we thought this all kind of married together, because we're both very, you know, preparation minded like that. And I'm thinking the 72-hour period, I'm thinking a week, you know, and then you've got to kind of have the knowledge beyond that to survive. But, you know, having the right things and the right tools, the right tool for the right job has always been one of my dad's mantra. And to me, the right tool for survival is immediately the food, shelter, you know, water, and then knowledge. And so between Happy Trails Outdoor Gear and NorCal Gun Vault, we've really, I think, brought together a nice piece of product from a company that you can trust, and really kind of set yourself up so that, you know, living in California, there's nothing says we can't have a nasty earthquake. Nothing says that, you know, you can't have an EMP pulse happen. These are all very real possibilities, a solar storm, things like that, that could take the power grid out for an extended period of time. And, you know, if you're not prepared, you will find hell on earth. And so you have to be thinking that way. So that's kind of what got us into all of this together, my wife and I, is just that wanting to make sure we had what we needed and everybody else could do the same thing.
Awesome. That's really awesome.
Yeah. Thank you, Eddie. So, we will post, for all the listeners out there, his email address, which he did not give yet.
Oh yeah, you can. Go ahead. Yeah, you can get a hold of us at. You can get a hold of me at Eddie EDDIE@NorCalGunVault.com, or you can go to the website and go to the contact us page. That goes to not just me, but 3 or 4 other people. So if, you know, one of us is always going to be around to answer. But I don't know. I've always been answering emails, so yeah, ask me questions.
So at the end of this podcast, ladies and gentlemen, we will have both of his sites listed. Of course, go out there and follow him. It's at NorCal Gun Vault on all the platforms. And we'll post his email there already. And we want to thank him. He's a very special person to me and to the Sheepdog Ops podcast platform. And, of course, I want to thank Jerry. And we'll keep in contact, and we'll bring you guys more content as everything develops.
Did you have anything new that you needed to shout out there, Mike?
No, I just I don't think so. I think on May 22nd, Eddie, wasn't there something that was
going to happen? Yeah, that's, thanks for bringing it up, Mike. So on May, NorCal Gun Vault is the only Northern California Sig Sauer Elite dealer, and there's only 2 in California. We're fortunate enough to be trusted by Sig Sauer to represent them in that level. And on May 22nd, we're selling tickets to a Sig Sauer range day. It's $25 a ticket. We have 2 sessions, one from 9:30 to 12:30, and one from 1:30 to 4:30. Sig Sauer is going to supply the ammo. They're going to bring out every handgun I can get them to bring, whether it's on, off roster, it doesn't matter. You'll be able to shoot it, whether it's a beautiful, perfect 6R P210, the Legion series, the Spartan series they've got. The only thing they're not going to have there is their AR lines, because they can't alter them and they can't bring them into California in any kind of compliance way that is going to make sense for what we're doing out there. We're going to have a demonstration of the BDX scope line with one of the AR platforms, and that is a phenomenal scope system. And if you want to see it, come down to the store. I'll demonstrate it for you. It'll blow your mind how well that thing works. And then, you know, we're going to have food out there. We're going to have some vendors. Battle Rattle's going to be out there as a vendor. We've got some other local vendors. Phase 5, Bottle Breachers is going to be out there. And at this time, Battle Rattle and Precision Holsters. They're all local, most are veteran-owned, and a lot of my product in my store is from veteran-owned, local, as much as I can find, and support our veteran community.
Me and Jerry will try and be out there.
Yeah, I need to get my ticket, and I'm up there. You said the 22nd, right?
Yeah, May 22nd, and again, there's two sessions, morning and afternoon, and we're limiting to 100 tickets for the morning session, 100 tickets for the afternoon, and then that one-hour break, we're going to have a food truck out there, Buck and Sadie's, that just has some dynamite wings, burgers, dogs, and if you buy a ticket, you're going to get a meal, so.
That's a deal for me. Well, I'm gonna have to make burgers. That.
So, yeah, I'd love to have you up here.
Win.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Mike, did you have any last thing? I know this was something that you had talked about last week, was this whole range day stuff. Is there anything else that you guys have over at Battle Rattle going on?
I think that's it, my man. Me and you will be out there on May 22nd, and then we can wrap it up, my man. We thank you so much, Eddie.
Yeah, thank you very much, guys. I appreciate it. Look forward to talking to you again.
Yeah, I definitely want to say thanks, Eddie, for coming out and taking the time. I know this week has been a little hectic, so that was fun trying to get this all set up, but I'm glad that you made it out to talk with us. And we next time we'll have to do this from the shop up there.
Oh, sure.
And anytime that you want to talk, you hit us up and drop us a line, and we'll set it up and make it happen.
Fantastic. There's lots to talk about.
Yeah, lots of it. Lots and lots. I want to give my thanks to Battle Rattle. Mike, I appreciate you guys taking care of us and hooking us up. I know that we've got two or three new shirts lined up to be released here in the next couple weeks. So if you haven't touched them or you haven't looked around and haven't seen them yet, definitely go over there and go check them out. As always, you can find both of us on all the social media platforms, whether you're looking for Battle Rattle or Sheepdog Ops, we're over there. So go look us up, get over there, like us, comment, make sure you share that love that we're trying to get back to you guys. And if no one else has anything, I'm going to lead us out and then we'll end this.
I'm wearing a Battle Rattle shirt right now. And if you want Battle Rattle shirts, come on to the store too. We sell them there. And Mike, give me a call because we got to get some more in the store.
Couldn't have thought a better way to end it, baby.
There you go. All right, guys. As we always end this, don't be the sheep in the fight. Be the dog. I'll catch you guys later.
Thanks, man.
Thanks, Jerry.